And I love songs that are from the Word of God, and what a joy. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 1. We're going to spend just a few minutes together in the Scriptures here in the auditorium tonight, and then we'll break up into our small groups in just a few minutes. But I'm thankful that you're here, and we want to pray that God will speak to us through His Word. I hope you've been doing the Countdown to Christmas reading at home and that's been a blessing to you. If you're not in the habit of reading the Scriptures on your own at home, part of the hope was in this Countdown to Christmas you would get in that habit. And I hope that you'll end this year well, daily in the Word of God, and that you'll continue that into the new year. As followers of Jesus, we want to continue in His Word. We want to abide, dwell in His Word. And it's critical that we do that. I meet a lot of people whose lives have been changed by God. You guys ever meet somebody whose life's been changed by God? And it's amazing how many people, I don't mean just that they weren't a believer and now they kind of believe in God. I'm talking about people whose lives have been radically transformed by the gospel. And without exception, I talk to those people when I meet them, and I'm like, well, what happened? And I haven't met one yet that didn't start their testimony with this. I started reading my Bible. It's crazy, isn't it? Isn't that an amazing thing? Like, you start reading your Bible and God transforms your life. It's almost like He does what He said He would do. Now, when you look in the Scriptures, you're going to be transformed from glory to glory by looking face to face with Him in His Word, in that perfect law of liberty, and that's what He does. So, would you like to have your life transformed by God? Then read your Bible. Okay, let's read together. Luke 1:26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now, we spent a lot of time this morning laying out how that we know that Jesus was the son of David, and legally he had that line, and bloodline, he had that line. So the legal line was through Joseph, who was of the house of David. Verse 28, and the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Now stop with me for just a second and just imagine for a moment. Mary was a young virgin woman. She was espoused. She was betrothed to Joseph to be married. In those days, they're in similar to what we would call an engagement, except this was like an engagement on steroids. It was essentially they were married. Legally, they were married. They were essentially husband and wife without having their wedding night yet. Everybody with me right now? Okay. So by all that we would understand, their betrothal, their espousal was they were committed to each other. They just hadn't had their wedding night yet. And so for us, it's a little different than engagements today, right? Because today we have promise rings that junior high kids give each other. I'm trying real hard not to look over here right now at certain people. Promise rings when we're young, and then sometimes that works out, sometimes it doesn't, and then there's the engagement ring. I just want to say, by the way, just as a side note, kudos to the marketer who came up with promise rings. Like, engagement ring sales are down, guys. What are we going to do? So let's start this promise ring thing. So that doesn't always work out in our society today, but it was a very rare thing for an espousal and a betrothal in these days in Israel to be broken. So this was a very serious commitment that they had. We know that Mary was a pure virgin. We know that she was a godly young woman. We know that the grace of God was on her because He says it multiple times. Thou art highly favored. It means that she had grace, that God's grace had been bestowed on her. So she was a recipient of the grace of God. That means she was a young woman of faith. You get grace by faith, right? Now, how it happens? And so God's grace was on her life, and she was blessed by God, and an angel appeared to her, and like any sensible person, she was troubled by that. Right? Like, if anybody who sees an angel should be troubled by that. And so she was afraid. This angel appeared to her and said that she was highly favored and that God was with her and she was blessed among women. Yeah, she was a little bit, I mean, we would say she was a little freaked out by that. And so there she was, the angel's talking to her. She doesn't know what to do with that. And she cast in her mind, what a calm way to say that. She cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. I'm not sure the King's English really translates well. Like, she was trying to figure out what in the world is going on. And there she was, angel speaking to her. Verse 30, the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." The angel comes out of nowhere, scares Mary to death. And like all the angels that come from God, have to tell everybody they're talking to, don't be afraid. Fear not. I've got great news for you. God has given you grace. You're going to have a child, and you're going to bring forth a son, and his name will be called Jesus. Now, in Luke, he translates that for us. Why? Why would he be called Jesus? Because he will save his people from their sins. She would understand the name itself means Jehovah saves, God saves. So his name is going to be Savior. He's going to be great. He is going to be called the Son of the Highest. He's going to be born of God. The Lord is going to give him the throne of his father, David. He is going to rule and reign over the house of Jacob forever. He's going to have an eternal kingdom. This was the message that God had. Friends, this is what Christmas is. It's grace. You know, the same phrase that God uses here, he uses of believers as well. Highly favored, that's you who have received the grace of God. The grace of God is in you through Christ. He gives peace. Don't be afraid. And a lot of us have a lot of fears about a lot of things. And God would say through Christ, through the gospel, don't be afraid. He gives grace, he gives peace, and of course he gives salvation. His name is Jesus. He is the only hope of salvation. And then he gives an eternal kingdom. And you and I get to be a part of that. Because when you come to God by faith in Jesus, you become children of God. If sons, then heirs. You have an inheritance. If heirs, then joint heirs with Christ. And the inheritance that Christ has as the Son of God is the inheritance he shares with all who believe. There's a lot of good reasons to love Christmas, isn't there? I hope that as you've read through the scripture readings this week, that it's stirred up your hearts and minds, that you've meditated on these things. And Mary says in verse 34, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" She says, "I'm a virgin. How can I have a child?" The angel said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Your son, Mary, is going to be the Son of God, the Savior of the world. All this time, all the prophets looking to Messiah to come, they had no idea how it was going to happen, when it was going to happen, and then God showed up. In the middle of the darkness, in the middle of the waiting, he showed up. Why? Because a young woman had found grace in the eyes of God. And that's where salvation is always found, where men and women and boys and girls have found grace in the eyes of God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for time together with your people to sing, to pray, and to look into the scriptures. I pray that your spirit would work in our hearts to guide us into all truth, that you'd help us just to know you, that we would walk with you. Lord, I pray that as we consider Jesus, who came to be our Savior tonight, that it would resonate in our hearts that he came to save because we need a Savior. That we were of our father, the devil. We're abiding, living our lives really dead in our trespasses and sins, that the wrath of God was abiding on all of us until we came to saving faith in Jesus. And I pray that if anyone hearing this message tonight is still lost, still in their sin, still undone, without God and without hope in this world, that your Spirit would convict them even now, that you would show them their need of salvation. We've all sinned and come short. There's no hope for us to save ourselves. Our only hope is to trust in Christ alone. I pray that anyone lost hearing this message, that they would trust in you even now. Please help us, Lord, to continue in your word as true disciples, bearing much fruit for your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.